family. Hey, let's kick off. So tonight I'm going to try and touch on 3 points around a topic, and then there's going to be some other guys coming to share as well, and maybe even some photographs. It's going to be fun. Something of family joining together, even to take this meeting forward tonight, which I think is really what we've experienced in the last week and a bit, because a bunch of us were in Richards Bay last weekend. Who was there with me in Richards Bay? It was Audrey and Mark and Daryl and myself and Marcus and Albert, who's not here tonight. He's visiting City Bowl this weekend. Yeah. You'll be back next week, you know what I mean? No, I'm only teasing. It was so nice to have Albert with us from City Bowl and just see how we can work in team, even across congregations, one church, one family. And Albert's contribution was amazing last week. It was so, so cool to have him with us. So as a quick intro, you heard some words coming through from Michelle, and there were some words in the prayer meeting, and God spoke at the worship practice this week in an amazing way through Mervis and some of the prophetic guys. I got sent some words, which I think I shared on our family chat. So in the past week and a half, there's been a very loud voice coming from the Lord to us. So there's a quick highlight of that. He's saying to us that we're going to grow, okay? He's saying to us that we need to fix our eyes on him as a people, as individuals. We need to adjust our plans to do that, change our directions to do that. It's really important, because he's got some healing and mercy and power and grace that he wants to flow through us. But we need to put our eyes on him, and we need to stop and get fixed on him again. And if you remember when we started in Greenpoint, those who were here, this picture of healing and mercy was very much on us. And a prophetic word that we got in City Bowl from Val about a year before we started Greenpoint was very much like, expect the unexpected, expect the impossible. And a lot of it had to do with physical healing, but a lot of emotional healing and that kind of brokenness as well. Not just limbs growing out, but inside of people changing. And that's for us as Greenpoint. God's reminded us of that twice just in the last year. So he's speaking, and I just want us to, just as an introduction, just be aware of what he's saying. He's called us to go deep in our individual walks, and that we are seeing a quality work being built rather than a quantity. So don't be worried about the quantity or numbers, or when are we going to extend to the back of this hall, and what about the stadium, and what about, I know I've mentioned it a lot, like 300,000 people to the right of me through Seapoint. It's like, it's exciting. But rather than get fixed on that, if we don't go deep and get the quality that he wants into us, we will never go that wide. Reminding us of that, which I think is really cool. And then just that he's been very thorough with us. I can't remember where that word came from. But that he's been very thorough with us. It's got something to do with the depth and the quality. And also a word that I shared on the family chat, that some of us may be feeling in a vulnerable place, a difficult place, and like a nachi being peeled. Maybe it's not such a lekker feeling all the time, but embrace it rather than run from it, because the juice that he's squeezing in the squeeze is for him to taste, and it's a beautiful, beautiful tasting juice. So embrace whatever you might be feeling, if that word even relates to you now, but it might in the future. So those are some of the things that I'm encouraged that he's saying. So if you've been with us long enough, who's really only been with us since the 2 years of Greenpoint starting? So in the last 2 years, you've come to us, Kyle and Shoshana, who else? There are a few others. It's a good maybe third of our church now. I know some guys are missing on that score. Ross and Lee are away for a wedding, so is Tandeka. So that's where they've been down in Port Elizabeth. There's a whole lot going on in PE. They're there for a wedding and probably staying for the little mini gathering. That's where they are. But I would say probably about a third of us are new. So you might not have heard these things as often as we have, but if you hear long enough, you'll begin to hear a couple of things like this, that as a church, we want to see every single one of you activated and going. You'll hear things like, I see all the nodding heads. You'll hear things like, we don't want any pew warmers or fancy seat warmers. We want everyone to be moving and working in the Lord and in the strength he gives. You'll even hear things celebrated. So like a mini success story of a weekend will look like this. Oh my gosh, guys, do you know that this past weekend, we had over 100 saints serving outside of their congregations in the nation somewhere. How amazing is that? And sometimes, what do you mean by that? And geez, did Greenpoint even manage to have a service if like they were all gone? But for me, that is probably the highlight of any leader or anyone standing up going, oh my gosh, I had half of my guys here tonight. This half were serving here, there, everywhere. And it's an amazing thing. So you're going to hear that kind of thing a lot as a way of intro. So what is this thing about, if you want to call it maybe an activated people or a church, a going church, maybe that's the message. And very simply, there's three things. What is this all about? Why do we do it, believe in it? And how do we actually do it? So I'm hoping that you get enthused and that the Holy Spirit does something in you, reveals more of this plan for the church. And then the how is always a good place to end, because if you're feeling activated, and I hope you do after tonight, that you'll have some keys of the how. So I'm not going to talk about the how, some other guys are, but the first two points I'm going to talk about is the what and then the why. So the what, let us look at Scripture. Maybe, Dale, you can throw up Ephesians 4, just that chunk from 11 to 16. Let's read this together. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. We can keep going. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Dale, don't you want to just keep it on verse 11? I'm just going to go through a couple of points here, and we can go through it together. You guys can look at the screen, or you can follow in your Bibles. So the first part, the what, you see there just on verse 12, for works of service. So what is it that we're called to do as a body? There is work for us. I know a lot of times we don't want to hear that we have work to do when we be saved. Because a lot of times we say, oh, Jesus will do the work and he's done the finished work. But he does activate us to work. As long as we work in his strength, we can do anything through him. You know that famous scripture in Philippians, I can do all things through Christ. And people throw that up as a one-liner. But actually there's hardships and there's a whole lot that comes before that scripture. And then the strength of Christ. And the same thing, as we're working for him and doing the works of Jesus, we do it in his strength. So the first thing, the what, is the works of service. So Christ gave these gifts to work together. And a lot of time we see one gift operating on its own somewhere, or another one operating somewhere else. Or even some families or churches only have experience of one or two of those gifts, but not all five of the gifts. But here the idea is that every healthy body has all those five gifts in the body to do what? To do everything and allow us to sit back and watch the gifts? No. That's what we see a lot as well in the church, which is not God's plan for the church. The plan is, if the gifts were in this body, if we were the only church in Cape Town, and Marius was the evangelist, Mark the teacher, Taryn the prophetic gift, someone else, the pastor, someone, and the show would be about those five human beings doing all the work. And firstly, you guys would stay in the seats, you would stay inactive, and we wouldn't grow into the fullness of Christ, which is the aim of this scripture. So if we look a bit deeper, Verse 12, to these five gifts are given to equip every single one of us, to equip every single one of us to go and to be built up and to grow and to reach unity. And that's one of the keys. So the what is actually to reach unity. So this is the key thing for Jesus, the head of his church, is that we would reach unity. And that's not just, hey, we're great friends, we socialize together, we serve together. These are all good things. Most of the time there's harmony because love can cover over, and we've learned to be mature in a harmonious type of unity. But actually, the deeper unity is that a unity in faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. So who Jesus is, we need to be on the same page and have a full understanding of him as the person of Jesus and a deep sense of the faith that he gives us. So it goes way deeper. We're singing off the same song sheet, if you like, in a way that we're experiencing Jesus in the same way. And there's no place, we'll get to it, but there's no place for false doctrine, bad teaching, and crafty, cunning people that are trying to take us off course. And you know, those are not people outside of the church. Those are inside the church, looking to pull us away from who Jesus is, who he really is. Okay. So what about this attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, the last bit? So unity in the faith, knowledge of the Son of God, who Jesus is, becoming mature and then attaining something, the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So what is that? What does that actually look like? So why would we want to be an activated people? So we know that God gave gifts, that's the what, to build his church up, to reach unity, faith of the Son of God, who he is. And then the why is to reach this fullness. What is this fullness? And it's not so much a fullness of, I've got more knowledge now of who the Son of God is. I've got more knowledge of faith, and I'm so built up in my mind because I've read so much, seen so much, downloaded so much, even experienced so much that I'm just there now. I can even teach because I've experienced so much and I'm so gifted. So now what do I do? Have I now attained the fullness of Christ? And I think it's more than that. It's more our maturity and our unity. These are the things that he's looking for. He's not looking to make perfect leaders or perfect evangelists and gifts. He's looking to unite us. Whether we go, you know, in Richards Bay, Russell and Jenny came and joined us there. And I mean, I looked at Russell and I thought, Russell and Jenny are working in the strength of God way beyond what they can carry, way beyond their capacity, their gifting, their knowledge, their ability. I was like, there's just this grace running through them. And I was like, how did they get that? How did they get that grace? How did they get that? And it's not because they've found more knowledge or studied a whole lot more. It's because they've guarded the precious unity of the saints in their life and in everyone they've led. They've literally gone for unity in the way they've lived. Yes, they've taught it and they've modeled it, but they've gone and got hold of it for themselves. They're attaining the full measure of Christ because of a unity that exists in them and how they see the body of Christ. Their lives are laid down to achieve unity in Jesus. That's what they live for. They know how valuable that is for us to catch and to follow into. And then just the maturity. And they can handle so much in the Lord. And they take a lot of hits, you know, for us. You know, the guys that go way before us as our leaders, they really do take a lot of hits. And I go, how do you take those hits and keep coming back and find grace and find joy? And it's a sense of the maturity that God does when you are on the front line for him. As you go and as you work for him, he strengthens and gives you maturity. Then verse 14. And this is what he doesn't want us to fall into, which is why he gives us the gifts. And then the why is that we achieve this fullness and the maturity and faith so that we won't be tossed around back and forth by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. So just to stop, our biggest danger is
I don't know how often you've thought about this, but our biggest danger is not so much the world out there. It can be enticing and pull us away, but as we're maturing, we learn to overcome the world, or so we should. At some point, the world should be a temptation, but we should have enough of Christ in us to overcome what the world offers. And really, then, the danger for us is cunning and craftiness that's going to slip into the church. So bad doctrine is such a real thing in our age. Such a real thing. You see, Paul calls us and those infants, babies in the Lord, being tossed around by every wind of bad teaching, bad doctrine, because there's cunning and crafty people out there wanting to do that and destroy our unity. Because unity is what we're going for. And then this would be our greatest opposition. So here, what he says in verse 15, and just to end with 15 and 16, instead, Paul writes, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So in a sense, to counter the deceit and the bad doctrine that's going to come against us, he then ends again with nothing much more than unity and love and us knowing that Christ is our head and working with him as the chief cornerstone of the church and staying united and then realizing what? That every single one of us is important. Every ligament joining has got a role to play. Beth had her knee, not even a knee op, knee replacement. There are loads of things going on in Beth's left leg. That if one doesn't work, everything, she won't cycle down the road, as she has been doing. There's ligaments, there's muscle, there's sinew, there's all these different parts of just one part of her body that's working together to help her to walk or cycle. Every single part working and builds itself up in love as each part does our work. So love being the thing that we are called to live in as we love. So when Andrea shared was so cool. Because for us, the deepest love that you're going to experience, it's been my experience has been that the strongest relationships that I have, or the deepest love is the people that I've sweated with the most, not on the soccer field, in the Lord's work, as we've gone and as we've shared and as we've got stuck in. And God does something. And I don't know, loneliness is really going to have no place in your life. So be activated. So quickly, that was a great portion of scripture. You're going to hear a lot about Ephesians 4:12. 4:12, our partnership of churches is taken from Ephesians 4:12 with this very heart and mind. So that's like the what of what we see that in scripture, and we see Paul writing and giving revelation, and really in that portion, telling us what to aim for, what's important to Jesus, and then how do we do it? And actually in there, he's just included all of us. Like it's such an inclusive portion of scripture. It's the gifts and it's serving us that we grow up. We can chew and live on that as a life mantra, actually. Just keep aiming at that. But then some of the reasons Jesus came, before I touch on last weekend in Richards Bay, but some of the reasons he came to earth, I don't have this on screen so we can flick the board off, but John 17:4, Jesus actually prayed, I glorified you, Father, on the earth, having accomplished the work which you gave me to do. And Mark 1:38, Jesus speaking again says, let us go somewhere else to the towns nearby so that I may preach there also. That's what I came to do. In Luke 19:10, Jesus speaking again, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. And 1 Timothy 1:15, quite similar, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, is what Paul wrote. Mark 10:45, even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for us. John 10:10, Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. And last one, 1 John 3:8, the Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. So a quick summary of why Jesus came to the earth, if I pull out the highlights, to finish the work that his father gave him, work, to go and preach, to save sinners, to seek the lost, to give life, give abundant life to people, and to destroy the works of the enemy. And in a sense, Ephesians 5, verse 25, 27, just to paraphrase, Jesus is coming back once again for a perfect church for us, a bride that is going to be pure and blameless and spotless without wrinkle. That's what he's aiming for. So that's why he gave us the gifts, for that outcome one day. So in Richards Bay last weekend, as we went to serve another church, I looked at all these things that Jesus wrote about, and we literally experienced doing the work of the Lord. We preached, we shared, we were part of lifting up that church so we could see the lost saved. We helped build them towards seeking the lost into new areas of Zululand. We came to serve, we did serve the whole weekend, yet we were far more energized by Sunday night than you could ever imagine. Best thing to do on a weekend, just give your whole weekend up for someone else. The most amazing I felt on a Monday for a long time. And we poured ourselves out, but God does something. It's just his grace. It's hard to explain. And we came so that that church can rise up and be an arrow in the area to destroy the works of the enemy. So all the things that Jesus came for, we got to experience as we went and served this church or this portion of his body right across on the east coast. So we're from the west right across the east to go and serve these guys. So let me just touch on this. This is another reason why we go and do this, why we partner with churches around the world. If we had to explain, this is actually the official reason. If you're looking in now and you're in some faraway place, let's just say some guys in Empangeni heard about us, because you know Richards Bay is starting to grow. It is. They're also in a place called Pongola, just up the north coast. They're actually there now, and they're growing. It's got a church that they connect with in Maputo, Mozambique, and there's a little home group happening down the road in a little part of Zululand, and a township is starting to grow. So I'm pretty sure Empangeni, the very next big town, will soon start hearing if they haven't already, and you probably find that something will mushroom over into there. Did I say mushroom? Grow there. Mushroom, is it even an expression? I often think of like it'll just grow, like something will grow. Like mushroom's not the greatest. Yeah. But something healthy will grow there soon. I don't know how healthy all mushrooms are. But something's going to pop open in Empangeni, I just know it. So the Empangeni guys are looking in and they search on our website. What is this 412? They don't know this stuff. So they read, 412 is a dynamic partnership of churches across the globe working together to equip, restore, and advance the church that Jesus himself is building. We are compelled by love and driven by the revelation that we are fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple for the Lord. Also in Ephesians 2, 19 and 21. So that's pretty much what the guys will see. And what's so cool is that we got to model that and to actually live that out. So I want to call on a couple of guys to come and share. Before I do that, I know they're readying their notes. They're each trying to keep it to a couple of minutes, and I know that's going to be hard. But I think for me to share first, I love team. You guys know I support the best football team in the world, and therefore I've always loved this thing of team. Did win last night. And I've never struggled to play in team. But I've begun to see team in a whole new way. It's like deeper levels of teaming up with Jesus leading us as the ultimate coach or captain. You follow him, you're going to play a team like you would never believe you could play a team. And a reminder that the scripture says that for the body is not one, but we are many. Scriptures also say that let us consider how we may spur one another on It's always about encouragement and showing love and good deeds to each other. Good team members do that. Peter writes that each of you should use your gift to serve others. We've heard a lot about servanthood tonight. And even Proverbs talks about that famous scripture, is iron sharpens iron. One person sharpens another. So we can't live like that and grow outside of team because we need each other. So this weekend I got a call from Russell saying KZN, it's his first trip. He's taken, him and Jenny are taking over the region because they oversee Gauteng. KZN's pretty close in terms of driving, so there's a good link between Benoni and KZN and Richards Bay already. So he's just got two provinces to look after. Like, you know, it's easy for Russell there. They've got huge capacity. And so he pops into KZN. He's on a three-week trip, him and Jenny, in the car. They're off to about six or seven of the churches. They'll end up round country back in Kimberley and then finally in Cape Town. And they're just popping in Bloemfontein, Standerton, Benoni, all on the way. And the beautiful thing is that they just took 15 of the Richards Bay guys with them this weekend. So we went and imparted into Richards Bay, and they then took 15 of them with them up the northern coast of Natal. But the beautiful thing is, Russell said, I can't make it anymore to the leadership time. So can you just take the Richards Bay leaders and just do leadership training, impart in them, just basic discipleship, pastoring, and deliverance. Sorry, I can't make it. I've got a very important meeting. You guys will be fine. Thanks, Neil. Okay, cool. Thought we were going for a holiday. No, I'm teasing. We knew we were going to do work. But it was great to be thrown in the deep end and then being able to call on the other guys, the other five guys, and really just step out in new areas of faith. And it was amazing. I'm not going to share much else than I'm just very surprised at the quality of people around the country as a start who are hungry to be used by Jesus. It's amazing how hungry people are. They're literally leaning forward to receive whatever the Lord has put on your heart to give. And there's a community of about 70-odd people already, also been going as long as us for two-ish years, and just desiring more, and open-hearted, ready to be prayed for, ready to be encouraged. It's just so beautiful. And the partnership is there, the seed has been planted, and what I want to say to you guys is that we want to keep going. It's something that I feel the first year in Greenpoint was difficult, but we're ready to keep going now. God is adding what we need to keep Greenpoint on the ground strong. And if you guys are feeling to go, you must just ask. Ask Jesus, get the faith to go, and then come and ask us. And we want to encourage that. We really do want to encourage that. So just in the month of May, we're going to have a team come out to us last weekend of May. They're going to be with us from Benoni. And so keep that weekend open and flexible in your hand, please. So we're going to have loads of guys pushing into us. And then we're going to go. We're going to have opportunity to go. Just in May, there are about 10 to 14, I think it is, things happening, opportunities to go in different places for this month. So more than one per weekend, you can do the mass. There's several outreaches happening. And there's so much desire out there that we don't have enough people to send. There could be more. We could really send more. So the beautiful thing with Gerrit and Sherry, who lead in Richards Bay at Kingdom Community Church, is that pretty much every month this year they've had a team come in. Sometimes it's just Will and Pam. I know Will and Pam are there next month. But they've had Mervis, they've had us, they've had Andrew. And the beautiful thing is one Sunday, how rich we are, is that one Sunday a month we always have someone here. One of the gifts is with us. Apostolic, we've had prophetic. We can just call in the guys because they're mostly here. But if you're far away, you need to really think out the box to draw people in. And I'm so amazed that they've done that this year. And they are growing because of it. The first year, it was tough. But they were all isolated on their own. And as soon as they began to use team, even as far away as us Cape Townians are, it's changed the whole fabric of that church. And it's so beautiful. So what in the why? Let's talk into the how. So you want to get activated. You want to get started. What do you do and how do you do it? So the guys who were with me last weekend, come up front and join me, please. And unless you want to go one by one. Marcus, you first, aren't you? Why don't you come so long, Marcus? Marcus, come share with us.
Good evening. When Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel," it is true, because the weekend we went to Richards Bay was awesome. My Friday started off, going with the Uber with Mark to the airport. He witnessed to this guy, Muslim guy from where? Congo, I think. Yeah. I was just sitting in the back relaxing, like a ride. So when we stopped at the airport, Mark asked him, "Can I pray for you?" He's like half-heartedly said, "Yes, can pray." So Mark prayed for him, and the Holy Spirit showed me that he had a stroke.
Sure.
I said to him, "Did you have a stroke?" Like, you're shocked. "How do you know?" I said, "No, God showed me." So I said, "Can I pray for you for healing?" He said, "Yeah, can pray." Because now he's open. So I said, "Okay, first pray after me." So I led him in the sinner's prayer. He accepted Jesus. And then I prayed for him to receive healing. So I said, and I prayed, I said, "Lord, bless his wife and children." Another shock. "How did you know?" Like, "No, God showed me, because Mark and he discussed it before I got into the vehicle." So yeah, that started off good. Got to Richards Bay, people, their hearts is warm, received us overwhelmingly. Then when we, like I said, "Hey, Lord, I'm going to witness to people. It's quite difficult, my first time going on a mission." But I just relaxed, and the Holy Spirit just started using me. And, praying for people, see how they open their hearts, go and witness to other people. It's so awesome. And we heard a braai in the garden that Saturday evening, and after that worship. And then we were just worshiping and singing, and like the Holy Spirit said to me, "I must go and tell the people that." Now, when God walked with Adam in the garden, so I'm thinking, "Hey, Lord, should I go?" I'm sitting on the grass there, just thinking. I thought, "No, okay, I'll go." So I just shared it with Gerard. He said, "No, go share it with the people." And really, God walked in the garden amongst the people, and he touched them. And how he prayed for them, and they just, wept, opened up, and how they just received what we went and shared with them. So when you want to go on outreach, do it, because it changed my life. Something changed me. Yeah, it is awesome.
Hello. Yeah, so I think the first thing that I would want to just quickly comment on is that, when you've been in the potter's shed for about 3 or 4 years, getting shaped, seriously reshaped, you kind of forget what it looks like outside and through the windows. It's just like you're, under the potter's hands, and that's where I've been at. And actually, it didn't even make sense for us to both agree that I should go. But we just agreed, and there was even a wobble along the way. We were like worried about our finances, and then I was just like, "No, I want to go." So we just agreed, and we went. And I think that, I would have to say that just the first thing that just hit me so hard was this kind of like this lift up, this sense of horizons, further horizons, just seeing further, a sense of coming out of an intense time and starting to see further and starting to see things differently. And it hit me from the moment I landed at Durban Airport and I was waiting for Neil. He was on the next flight. He came in about 20 minutes later, and I started encountering Indians, the Indian nation. And I was like, "There's Isaac, there's Isaac, there's Isaac." But, you know, they're beautiful people. And I've forgotten, you know, I haven't traveled for so long now. There was a time in my life where I was a professional captain, a yacht captain, and I sailed and traveled like you won't believe. But I haven't for the last 20-something years. And I've just been stuck in Cape Town, and it's been a miserable time. And especially these last 4 years. But, you know, to just suddenly, like, take off and land in Durban, like, it's an hour and 40 minutes and land there and start encountering different cultures. And then also the Zulus, you know. We don't see many Zulus down here. And I started encountering a different tribe, a different culture. And my eyes, again, were shifting and shifting. And then Neil arrived. And then we arrived at Richards Bay, hired a car, got to Richards Bay. And the people were just, again, as Marcus was saying, just welcomed us. They opened their hearts to us. And from the word go, I started seeing this whole thing that Neil's talking about, that the body building each other up. And just the little things that God put in place where I was being built up and encouraged. Like, for example, the people that, I don't know who organized it, but, you know, we stayed with a couple, Albert, Marcus, and I stayed with a couple called Rihanna and Johan. They're in their 50s. And immediately there was a connection between the three of us. Before Albert and Marcus arrived on the next flight, we had a couple of hours to catch up. And there was just so many overlaps. It was just actually mind-blowing. And I can't go into those things now, but just everything from marriage to what happened to them was they came from a Dutch Reformed background and they were conservative. And they came into this church sort of thinking that they knew everything, but they actually had to go through a whole stage of like taking off all the old and letting God teach them the new. So there was just a lot of similarities, you know, where Beth and I have also come out of previous churches that have actually not helped us, they've damaged us. And so there were so many points of encouragement. And I could just go into so much detail there, but I won't. But they were a beautiful people, and they poured themselves out for us. They spared nothing for us. And then there was, I think the second incredible thing that happened to me was, you guys have probably maybe seen the video that went around last year of James Lee, the tall guy from TMT. He did a year at TMT, and he shares his video, his testimony on a little video that they released. Well, James and Gerrit and I are obviously the three surfers, so we connected, so they made arrangements. Do you know the guy? Tall James, yeah. Yeah, so they said, oh, no, don't worry, we'll pick you up tomorrow morning. So they organized the board, and James picked me up, you know, and he's this, like, 20, 21-year-old guy, but there was, like, a connection, and there was no age between us, and we were, like, just connecting. And that's another little insert I'll make there quickly, that, yes, it is work. You know, you are going to give and to work, but the beautiful thing is that you're doing life together. So even in the hanging out, those parts of the trip are actually just as important as preaching, prophesying, and whatevering. So, you know, James and I were sharing each other, our lives with each other, and on the second morning he picked me up again, and he opened up more, and we went deeper, and I was able to encourage him about his walk. He sort of told me that it was just a year ago that he went, just over a year ago, that he went to TMT, and he wasn't even, like, everyone was like, saying go, go, go. And he was just kind of like, you know. And then anyway, he agreed to go, but he smoked his last doobie on the beach and he jumped on the plane and flew to Cape Town and came to TMT. And that's where he was at, you know, a young Christian, but firing. And he's leading a home group now. He actually took over from Rihanna and Johan's home group. And the heart connections and the encouragement that I was able to encourage him, you know. And it was like a father-son relationship, but the son was encouraging the father just as much, you know. And it was really beautiful. And then, just as what Neil was saying, just the sort of the body building each other up, you know. Just everyone was giving and loving. And I've come back with a shift. And I'll just end with this and say that I don't want to lose what I've gained. And I'm going to hang on to it because I just know that there's more out there for all of us. And the beautiful thing is it's for all of us. It's not just the few guys that are going to get up and preach. There will be the guys that just preach, and there may be many of us that don't preach, but it's not about the preaching. What I'm saying is that there's something for all of us to do, and we can all go, and we must go, and we must get up there and let God stretch our horizons and see what's going on out there. I felt so encouraged. I got a new view of South Africa. I started loving my own country again, actually. I left here a bit jaded, to be honest with you. I was a bit like, oh, I've had enough of taxi drivers, and I've had enough of violence and hatred in restaurants and, you know, and all this kind of vibe. And I was like, oh, you know, like, and I've come back, like, just overflowing with love for people again. So I would just say, go, 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 and don't hold back. And, you know, it's not just about the far trips. That's the last point I'll make. But just, I want to go to Khayelitsha. I want to go wherever we go, Mitchell's Plain. Whatever opportunities come up, I'm going to take them with both hands. And that's a little thing that God showed me a little while ago was, like, I was just mulling over how hard it is sometimes to do what God wants us to do. Like, it takes a bit of effort to get up and go to Wellington to chop trees and play with kids all morning on a Saturday when you just want to chill. But God is showing me that, like, wherever, if he says go there, then no matter what the effort is that it requires to get you there, there'll always be life. There'll be a well of life that comes out of that. And that well of life bubbles up and you don't feel it. You come back feeling like, so even though we spent money that we don't have to spend, it was just worth it. And the best thing, the last thing, I have to tell you this, that the best part of the whole trip for me, coming back from the airport and seeing my wife standing through the crowd in the far distance and jumping and greeting me, and Beth's not an easy crier, but she had tears. She cried. And that was really beautiful. So, yeah, I say go. Yeah.
Audrey, there you go.
Okay, I was very honored to be able to go. I was the only girl with incredible men, and I really just want to honor Neil and the guys that went. It's amazing. I don't think we often realize how well God equips us in Cape Town and what an amazing leader we have. So I really just, Neil, want to honor you. That Saturday morning was probably one of my highlights, just seeing Neil share, Mark share, the rest of the team sharing, and just being ready to pray with people and encourage people. So, yeah, I felt just two things. It's very simple, and I felt God say that he wants to use us, and he wants to grow and change us as he uses us. So, basically, just want to echo what Dal said, is just to go, because when you go and you put yourself in that place, you just allow God to activate something in your heart again. And for me, I don't have a big story of a salvation or a big thing that happened over the weekend, but I think what God did was so beautiful and gentle, and he just again reminded me just how amazing he is and how important it is to go, because in that sense you get to know. I was reminded of a scripture actually that says it much better than I would say, but it's Paul speaking about getting to know God and becoming like him, and that's basically what we want. We want to know God and we want him to change us so that we can become like him. And I just want to encourage you all, if there's an opportunity, you don't need a massive dream from God. Like Marcus said as well, Jesus already said, go into the nations, make disciples, preach the gospel, pray for people. And it's so simple. It's just, I could have stayed in Cape Town and just chilled for that weekend, but I decided I'm just going to do what Jesus called me to do and step into that place and sacrifice. But in the process, I gained so much. Just being there, just being a body there so that you can pray for people, that you can talk to people, that you can chill with people. And God's just looking for willing people. I think that's one thing that came through in the weekend, that God loves to use anyone, like just be willing and take that step to walk out. And we were saying in the car how weird it is that we get so into our own worlds that we don't think the way we think when we're on outreach. We almost put this on switch on, and then we're like, okay, I need to be aware of who's around me, be ready, speak to the Holy Spirit. But we don't live like that, and I feel like God activated that in me again over the weekend. So now when I'm just doing my thing in Cape Town, I have that awareness that there's people around me that might need an encouragement, or they might need a listen, somebody to listen to them, or they might need to hear some truth. So I think God wants to activate us, or that's what I took from the weekend, to be an activated people, whether we go to work or whether we go to the shops or whether you go to your neighbor, but to be activated and ready to know God wants to use you and he wants to change you in the process.
Okay, so I just asked Neil quickly if I could share a little bit of my testimony, because I think it's a part of the story of going to Richards Bay and just what God's been doing in me of late. I just want to honor every one of the guys who went, just in terms of the way that they played team. It was incredible to watch no one try and elevate themselves and their ministry or their gift or their moment, but just pulling into team. And such a beautiful moment with Marcus in the car with the Muslim guy. I said amen, being disappointed, thinking there's got to be something more. And then Umruch said, did you have a stroke? And the guy's God just completely fell. He's coming to church next week, by the way. And then just Daryl, like actually the young guy James, Daryl wouldn't mention this, but he actually stood up and honored Daryl in front of the entire church for Daryl's, and that was over a surfing thing. And just seeing the impact that Daryl had and just the way that Neil led as well was absolutely incredible. Yeah, and Audrey and Albert just giving away a weekend as well and spending the time with us ragamuffins. I got to drive them, and I've never seen two people stare into one another's eyes so much, but it was amazing. Okay, it's a bit naughty. Okay, so what I want to say is this, something that I felt in worship, and you'll hear a bit of my story now. I'll try and keep it as brief as possible, but the measure that you give God is the measure that he'll be able to use you. And let me tell you this, I've had a boring last probably 4 or 5 years with God and Christianity. And there's just been massive breakthrough of late. So Jesus has been leading me into the book of Acts just recently and just looking at average Joes, fishermen. In fact, they're not even average Joes, they're below average. Peter was a fisherman from Galilee. Galilee is like Belleville or Dispatch. It's not an esteemed area like Camps Bay, Fresnay. It's not Claremont. It's not Bishop's Court. It's a very low area, and he was a fisherman. He was unschooled. But when he stood before Annas and Caiaphas, they said, we know that these men were with Jesus, and they were surprised by the authority. And so God's been taking me on this journey of just going, all I want to do is be with Jesus and to receive the Holy Spirit and to see what the Holy Spirit wants to do. So I love scripture, so I'm just going to share one or two things. One thing that I shared with our community before we left, and I didn't realize how true it was, but do we know that in Ephesians 3 verse 10, it says, his intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God will be revealed. Through the church. He talks about the whole church, not just a part of the church or just the leaders. Through the church, we are God's plan A. He does not have a plan B. Do we understand that? Then Neil teached on Ephesians. Do we also know in Matthew 16 verse 18 it says, and I tell you, this is Jesus speaking, you are Peter. On this rock, I will build the church. Who builds the church? Jesus builds the church. Okay. We don't build a church. We're just his hands and feet. But he builds the church, and he does it very skillfully. And the other scripture, the last one that I wanted to read was in terms of the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gift, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. And then right at the end it says, all these are the work of one Spirit and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one as he determines. So I think just for me, just seeing an average guy like Peter, who was really average, 2,000 years later, or just responding to the Holy Spirit and being filled in power and actually seeing God work in his life, he became the father of the church as we know it. And It's not about ability or gifting, because in all honesty, I would say like I'm gifted, and in many ways God has given me many talents, but I don't think in Richards Bay God used a single one of them, because I'm not prophetic, yet in Richards Bay he used me to prophesy over a 10-year-old kid who was in tears. And just, you know, the thing is that God's calling us to go as people. But we need to respond and say, here I am, Lord. send me. And so just the part of my testimony that I want to share quickly is after Stuart Greer coming in and just the different deliverance sessions, God has spoken to me over the last 10 years of an idol that I'd built in my life, a proper idol, and I would make time to go to it rather than go to God. This idol was video games. And God had said to me, this thing is shackling you. It's holding you back. It's shackling you. You cannot go further until you destroy this idol. And I couldn't. There's no way. And it's kept me back for 10 years. I'm ashamed to say. I still served God, but I didn't have anything of the power. And then after seeing the demonic strongholds broken and a deliverance and being invited into a proper deliverance session, I knew that this thing, this life that we have and the reality of the spiritual realm is too real to play games with. And I went and I broke down that idol immediately. It's been about a month since I've played any games or watched videos or anything like that. And God broke that thing down. But can I tell you that ever since, the Holy Spirit has just been using me in ways that I cannot explain. And it's outside of my giftings. It's got nothing to do with me. Don't clap for me. Clap for the Lord. But what I want to say is this, is the measure that you bring to God is the measure he'll be able to use. If you hold stuff back and you find church boring, it's going to be boring, okay? But when you bring something to Jesus and you get serious about it and you cut down idols in your lives and you present parts of your life that weren't presented before, get ready. Because when the Holy Spirit pours out, 3,000 will come to salvation, 5,000 will come to salvation, and you'll walk in power. And there's no point in doing things without power. Because then you're doing it in the flesh. And there won't be results. You're just leading people towards yourself. So, I just want to say, God uses normal people. And then he puts his spirit on them. And he creates absolute heroes of the faith. But present yourself to God as a living sacrifice, as Romans 12 says. If there's something that's holding you back, get rid of it. It's not worth it. I spent 10 years walking around the same mountain, and I kill that idol, and I cut it down, and immediately God just says, this is my son with whom I'm well pleased. And all of a sudden, we're ministering in a new way. We're going on outreaches. I'm hungry for God's presence again like I haven't been. I'm enjoying the word like I haven't been, and just experiencing so much of God's life. If you offered me that idol to build up again and I could do it freely, I absolutely wouldn't do it. Because there's nothing in it. There was just death. And now I'm experiencing the life of God. So all I want to say is say yes and go. And go. And just trust God that he'll use you in a mighty way. Because he uses us despite ourselves.
Right. So you know there's nothing worse. There's nothing better for a leader than to have good headaches. Have you ever heard of what good headaches are? You get bad headaches and you get good headaches. And a good headache is there's so much life and there's so many people nagging you to do things and go that my time is taken up with how do I control Mark? How do I make sure that Mark and Lex are at home also having a meal and looking at each other? And I know because every night they're just wanting to go and be used. The grace of God is empowering them. It's a new capacity. It's happening. I'm sensing it. Taryn's sensing it. Many of you are. It's a good headache to say, hey guys, let's not slow down, but where do we direct this life? And then leave that up to Ross, Marius, and myself to direct the life. A bad headache is when everyone is staring, going, glad you guys had a nice time at Richards Bay. And then next weekend, there's a call, and no one's willing to go. But I know we're in for good headaches in this house, and I'm excited about that. I'm excited to tell you that 412 conference in September. Remember, it's usually October. My hope is that every single one of us go to the conference. I was talking to Gerrit. Richards Bay, 75% of the church is coming to Cape Town. Coming to us. That's his aim, sorry. He achieved about 50% last year. 30 of their guys were here. It's a lot, eh? And they've been, for 2 years, their leaders have been coming. And they're growing. That's because they're exposing themselves and they're going. And they're getting activated. So you know what my hope and desire is? I'm praying into this. Every single one of us that call this home, even guys who've been visiting long, that it is your home and you're beginning to take root, that we will all be at the conference. because every single one of us will be activated by the apostolic and every other gift, and we will not be the same. It's no good 10 of us not being the same, coming back and reporting, because that's never the same. We will catch that life. So number one is the conference. Let's be activated for that. And then hosting. Last weekend of May, Benoni. I'm still waiting for Dan to tell me how many people, but I think there could be about 8 people coming. So we need to host them. So we need some homes. So I'll make that call this week, hopefully. This is who they are, how many married, how many single, who's hosting. Give me a good headache. Help me say, please bring some more because there's so many homes. But I know you guys love to host. I just want to reiterate, these are opportunities to be activated. And then the other one is just a continual looking for opportunity, looking for opportunity. Because Richards Bay was really stirred up in me because of others telling me how fun it's been to go out and surf. And it was Dan and the Benoni guys. Like, man, we have so much fun every time we go or open our homes or stretch. I'm like, I know that, but something needed to activate again. And when it activated and it happened, it's like, I can't get enough of it now. So I want to end a little bit on what Audrey touched on. There's something there that really resonates. Why don't we just stand together? But this thing that, and let's just, maybe let's just close our eyes for a few moments. But just as Audrey was sharing, I remember having that same experience for the whole weekend in KZN. And it was weird because I totally knew that Jesus had me there for a purpose with these guys, these friends. And I looked for every opportunity to be his hands and feet and to witness and to say, Holy Spirit, what are you wanting to do? Not only in your church, but wherever we went, wherever we put our feet. And I know that's what his dream is for us in our daily living. That's what he has for us. That's what he wants for us. And there's no reason why we need to switch off Monday to Friday and come the weekend. And we need to stay activated. So let me pray a little bit into that. I thank you, Jesus, that by your Holy Spirit we are activated. Firstly, to love you properly and to actually walk in your ways. So I pray, even as the Holy Spirit has been speaking a number of things tonight, that you would activate in our hearts a going people. That we would know that you've called us to live and be active and to walk in step with you every day of our lives. Every moment of our lives, no matter where we are. Whichever Uber driver, whichever colleague, whichever stranger, whichever church we're involved in, whichever saint we're building up and encouraging, speaking life over. Your Holy Spirit leads us daily. And may that be an activation over us tonight. Once again, Lord, come and stir up our faith. And I want to pray that over us as a family. Let there be many testimonies of you walking amongst us, activating your people, sending your people. And I pray, Lord, as you've done in us, that you'd give capacity to every person here tonight. And everything they set to do in your spirit, they would find that there's a grace and capacity that they cannot understand. They find grace and they find capacity. Because you did that in us. And it's an amazing thing to know that it is in your strength, Lord. Suddenly we find capacity way beyond what we're carrying or what we think we can do. And it goes beyond and something kicks in. And it's the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord. So I pray that you do that now. You'd even come and activate something in our hearts where we felt like we don't have the capacity or how am I going to fit this in. Lord, I pray that you'd break the way we look at things with our mindsets and how we even measure things in worldly standards. Even our tiredness and our time and capacity, Lord. It's a worldly thing, Father. I've seen it again this week. I've seen it again, Lord. And one touch from you and suddenly we're out the box. Suddenly we're in step with you and things do not make sense. How are we affording this? How do we have time for this? How do we move in this kind of grace, capacity, strength? Why am I so rejuvenated when I should be falling asleep? It's because of you, Jesus. You've activated something. And that is the grace and the power and the strength that I pray we would walk in daily, Lord. That we'd be a church that pleases you. We'd be a church that moves with you, Lord. So I ask it in your name, Jesus, that you would come and do that tonight by the power of your name. By the power of your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Just tonight, if you guys have felt an unctioning in your heart just to respond, I just want to pray one more time that I'll ask if you can just raise your hands. If you feel like the Holy Spirit is activating something in you to go, to be a person that we used and will step forward, or even wants to go, on an outreach or do something out of the ordinary, just raise your hands with me and I'm going to pray one more time. Just respond to Jesus tonight and say, that's me, Lord. That's me, Lord. That's me, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. He knows what's in your heart. He knows what you're trusting for. He knows what has been activated in your spirit tonight. And so just meet him there. Just speak in your spirit. Just ask him to come and do whatever you're trusting him to do. I pray over us as we finish. I thank you, Father, for every man and woman, child in this room tonight. I thank you that you've called us to be a people that go for you, your hands and feet in the world, so to speak. And I thank you, Jesus, that there is so much gifting in this room. There is so much depth in this room. You see it, Lord, when you go, and you see what you have back home, and it is a wonderful thing. I thank you for what you've already built into us. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would come and meet the faith in this room tonight. You'd come and meet individuals in the room tonight who are hungry for more, hungry for change, hungry for opportunity to go for you. And I pray you'd take them on a faith journey and meet them, Lord, in this area. I ask that in your precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right. Guys, give me good headaches. Give Marius good headaches. Give Rots lots of good headaches. He's new. But I'm looking forward to going. We've got some pictures up here for a bit of entertainment. Richards Bay. That's James, the tall young guy that Daryl fathered. He'll never be the same, nor will Daryl. Mark cooked food. He'll never be the same. That's the house, by the way, where Daryl and Marcus and Albert stayed. They're hosts. Wonderful people, the hosts.